I'm reminded of stuck in a cough drop to help me a little bit, and I'm reminded of the preacher who always put a cough drop in before he got up to preach. And because of that, his sermons were always the same length, because as soon as the cough drop was gone, he would stop preaching and offer the invitation. Well, one day, he preached and preached, and he just kept going and kept going, and finally, he just abruptly, after about an hour, just stopped and said, "Let's stand and sing," and went and sat down. And afterwards, somebody said to him, said, "What happened?" He said, "You usually preach exactly the same amount of time, and today you just went on. What happened?" He said, "Well, I always put that cough drop in my mouth when I get up to preach. This morning I got a button by mistake. So, I don't think I have a button in my mouth." Appreciate John leading the song, "How Beautiful Heaven Must Be." That's our subject for this week. We'll think about heaven. There's nothing much more pleasant, I suppose, that we could think about. Emily Dickinson, I think that woman suffered from some depression. A lot of her poems are kind of depressing. She wrote a poem entitled, "Heaven Is What I Cannot Reach." What a sad thought. To know that there is a place, to know that there is such a wonderful, perfect place as heaven, but to believe that you cannot reach it. The Bible, of course, teaches us that yes, heaven is a place, and yes, it is extraordinary and it is beautiful, but unlike Miss Dickinson's thoughts on the matter, the Bible tells us that we can reach it. In fact, John chapter 14 in verses 1 through 4, Jesus says that we are not to be troubled, that there are many beautiful rooms or mansions, the King James says, in His Father's house. And then He says, "I go to prepare a place for you." Verse 3, He says, "If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Jesus went to prepare, and I know He's talking specifically to the 12 here, but the principle is the same, that He is preparing that place for all of the saints. I want you to imagine, if you will, don't fall asleep, but you can close your eyes if you need to help you imagine it. Imagine the most beautiful scenery that you've ever seen on this earth. Imagine the most beautiful place. And I know for different people it may be different. For some it may be a beach somewhere with palm trees swaying. For some it might be mountains. For some it might be a stream running through the woods. I don't know what you think is the most beautiful place. I suppose some folks might think a sandy desert is beautiful. I don't know. But whatever you think of as the most beautiful place that God created on this earth. Maybe you might think even beyond that. You might think, oh, just looking up at the full moon and how beautiful it is. Or maybe you've seen pictures that some of the telescopes have taken of some of the incredible scenes of outer space, and you think, oh wow, God created all of that. How beautiful that place is. How wonderful it is to see those things. Perhaps you think of some great scene, maybe some animals that have been photographed in their natural setting, and how beautiful that is. Maybe it's a waterfall. Maybe a sunrise. I don't know what your most beautiful scene that you can imagine is, but I want you to imagine that. And I want you to think about that as we think about this first point. Heaven is beautiful because of the one who made it. It's beautiful because of who made it. Now, we've never been to heaven. And so as we think about these beautiful scenes in the physical realm that we've witnessed, maybe someplace we've actually been, maybe something we've just seen in photographs or on a documentary or something. But as we think about that beauty, I want you to think about this. All of those beautiful things that we're all thinking of, God created the entire world and this whole universe in just 1 week. And He created all of those wonderful animals and all of those beautiful scenes of nature and the sunrise and the sunset and all of those things out in space, the sun, the moon, and the stars. He did all that in 1 week, 6 days really, because He rested the seventh day. Now I want you to consider how beautiful a place Jesus, who was involved in this creation that we see around us, how beautiful a place could He create and could He design and build and make for us if instead of a week He had 2,000 years to perfect it. How beautiful is that place? He's had 2,000 years since the time He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And He's been working on it. And He's been getting it ready. And He's been decorating it. And it's going to be far more beautiful than any earthly physical scene that we can imagine or that we've been thinking of. Now that's hard for us to understand because we've just stretched our imagination to the most beautiful thing we can imagine. But it's going to be more beautiful than that. You see, God only makes things that are perfect. When He created this earth, it was perfect. Only Satan and the sin of mankind have corrupted it. But of course, in nature around us, we still see some of that beauty that He created it with. God only makes things perfect. And so heaven will be and is the perfect, most beautiful place in the spiritual realm that could possibly exist. Well, let's move on. Heaven is beautiful not only because of who made it, but because of who will be there. And our beautiful place has to be filled with beautiful beings, doesn't it? Now, we talked a little bit ago about some of the animals. To see an eagle soaring or to see a herd of elephants or something. I mean, they're just majestic to see some of these things, these creatures that God made here on this earth. But what do we think about those beings that will inhabit that spiritual realm? Of course, we know that God will be there, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They will all be living in heaven when we get to go there. That in and of itself would be enough. That would make it so wonderful as to be almost inexpressible to the human tongue. Revelation 22 and verse 14 though says, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. You see, those who are going to be there are those who wanted to be there and who wanted to be there badly enough. I don't know, can you use the term badly when you're describing something about heaven? Strongly enough, maybe, be a better word. I don't know if you can want something badly if it's something good. I'm not sure about that. But they wanted it so much that they were willing to do His commandments. Those are the people who will be there. The saints from all ages. Many that we will have never heard of or met. But in addition to that, of course, the Bible heroes. What will it be like to get to walk and talk with some of those heroes of the faith? Those that are mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. To walk with Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and to talk with them and to be able to share that experience with them of being together in heaven with God. And of course, in addition to the humans who will be there, and of course God, are the heavenly beings, the angelic beings. We know of some of them, they're the cherubim and the seraphim, the archangels, and many other kinds of angels that we don't necessarily know of. John writes in Revelation of these marvelous beasts that had four different faces. How odd would that be to see such a creature? These creatures with wings and yet also having arms and legs. How odd, how unusual, and yet what a wonderful thing it will be to get to experience that and to get to witness that and to see those things that we've never imagined before. I wonder, Ezekiel talks about creatures that had a wheel in the middle of the wheel and eyes all around. And I wonder if some of those creatures are going to be up there. If we'll get to see them and finally understand what Ezekiel was talking about. Because just reading his description of it, it's hard to imagine what that creature is like. But it will be a wonderful experience to see and to meet all of those who will be together with us when we reach heaven. Of course, we have to reach it in order to have those experiences. But heaven is also beautiful because of what will be there. What's going to be in heaven? Now, I know that the Bible describes it in some physical terms for us because we're physical beings and it's hard for us to understand it. There's a description of a rainbow and a sea that's as clear as crystal and a golden street and all of these beautiful things. Gates made of pearl. But I don't want us to be disappointed when we get to a heavenly spiritual place and find that it's not a physical place. But I'm reminded somewhat of the man who knew he was going to die. He had hoarded a bunch of gold during his lifetime, and so he demanded that when he was buried, that trunk be buried with him. And they did. They buried that trunk with him. And he got that trunk when the resurrection came, and he carried it up to heaven with him. And he got up to heaven, to the gates, and as the story goes, St. Peter said to him, you can't bring anything in here. Well, what are you doing with that trunk? And he said, this is my most prized earthly possession. I've got to bring it in. And Peter said, let me look at it and see what you've got. And so he opened it up to reveal these bars of gold throughout this trunk that he had. And Peter gave him the oddest look and said, why would you want to bring street pavement with you? You know, we sometimes value things here on earth that truly are not of great value. There's nothing intrinsically valuable about gold. It's shiny and it's pretty. Or the diamonds, the crystals, the pearls. They're shiny and pretty. But really, they have no true value. And in heaven, if we're depending upon these kinds of things to make it worth our while to be there, we won't be happy there. Instead, when we think about the things that actually are going to be in heaven, we think about what the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. He says, for you had compassion of me and my bonds, and took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. You see, he said, you didn't mind losing your substance here on earth, in this physical world with these physical things. You didn't mind giving that up because you knew you were laying up treasures in heaven. Treasures where rust won't destroy, where moth can't destroy, where thieves can't break in and steal it. Now, there are several things that we might think of that are in heaven that will make it a beautiful place. There will be joy and rejoicing. There will be comfort and peace. There will be light everlasting. There will be love and fellowship continually. There will be home. Now, home is a word that brings up some good memories for most people. Now, some people may not think of the place they grew up as home. They may think of somewhere else as home. But we all have an image of a place where we go, where we're accepted, where everything's good, everything's wonderful, and we think, and that's home. Now, sometimes our earthly homes aren't always like that. Sometimes they're not perfect. They're not always wonderful. And we're not always accepted. But heaven is a kind of place that is a perfect home. The tree of life will be there. Worship and praise will be there. And our reward will be there. The crown of life that God has promised us. And again, not thinking of a physical crown made of gold and diamonds and jewels, but a reward nonetheless. On the flip side, heaven is also beautiful because of who will not be there. You know, most places we go, we think about who is going to be there. We go to a party, a get-together, a family reunion, whatever, we think about, well, who's going to be there? I can remember as a child, always on the way to church wondering, you know, are my friends going to be there for Bible class today? And what a disappointment it was if, like, some today are sick and they were out. And we feel some disappointment when those aren't there. But, you know, sometimes there's someone that's not pleasant to be around. And when we go to a certain place, we kind of hope they're not there. Well, heaven is beautiful because of who will not be there. Revelation 21 and verse 8 tells us that the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers, whoremongers and sorcerers, idolaters and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. They will not be in heaven. In fact, we see that Satan and his angels will not be there. Evil people of all the generations will not be there. The unbelieving people will not be there. See, we won't have any arguments in heaven about whether Jesus really rose from the grave or whatever. They're not going to be any arguments that because the unbelieving won't make it. They won't be there to argue about it like they are here on earth. Hypocrites will not be there. I used to have an uncle whose excuse for not going to church at a particular place near where he lived was that, well, some of the folks down there at that church are hypocrites. My mother always had what I thought was a pretty good answer to him. She said, well, would you rather put up with the hypocrites for a little while here on earth, or would you like to spend all eternity with them? Yes, sometimes in the church there are some hypocrites, but they're not going to make it into heaven. Now, if you're one of those hypocrites, you better turn it around or you won't be in heaven. But sometimes we think, well, those hypocrites down there, don't worry about them. They're not going to be in heaven. And if you don't go to church because there are hypocrites in the church, well, then guess where you'll get to be with the hypocrites for all eternity. We don't want to be part of that. And of course, the liars, he mentions, the idolaters, the murderers. And now, we understand, of course, that someone who lived a wicked life can repent of those sins and come to Christ. They can be baptized and have their sins washed away, just as Paul did. He was a murderer and a persecutor of the church, but his life changed. But no one who dies in that condition is going to be allowed to enter in. But then finally, we want to notice that heaven will be a beautiful place because of what will not be there. Again, we often think of the things that will be there. And yet, what will not be there is just as important. Revelation 21 and verse 27, John writes, "And there shall no wise enter into it anything that defiles, neither whatsoever works abomination or makes a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." You see, there are some things that won't be there. Sin will not be there. But also we know that death will not be there. There'll be no more dying. Some call heaven the land of no mores, because there will be no more dying, there'll be no more death, there'll be no more pain and sickness, no more scratchy throats and coughs and aches and pains and all of these things that we suffer with in this physical life. What will that be like? Never to have to suffer those pains or illnesses again. That alone would make it a beautiful place to desire. There will be no more separation there. You see, when we think of heaven, we often describe it, and the Bible describes it, as eternal life. Now, some people think that, you're going to have eternal life either in heaven or in hell. But the fact of the matter is, that's not really the way the Bible describes it. The Bible describes hell as eternal death and heaven as eternal life. But both of them are eternal. Eternal meaning unending, everlasting. That's a concept that our human minds can't really wrap themselves around. But then the latter part of that phrase, life, describes the quality of that existence. Yes, we will exist forever in one place or another, but the question is, will it be life or will it be death? Will it be joy and happiness or will it be pain and suffering for all eternity? But notice that it's eternal life. Once we get to heaven, everything that we are taught in the Scriptures indicates, once we make it, everyone that makes it there gets to stay there forever. There's no, you were good enough to make it for 100 years, but then you're going to have to get kicked out. None of that. There's no indication that someone who makes it there will then fall away and be kicked out because of sin. You know, we know that can happen in the church here on earth, that someone can be faithful for a while, but then they can fall from their faithfulness and leave the church. But there's no indication anywhere in Scripture that once we make it to heaven, that will ever happen to us. Once we get there, it's for eternity. No more separation. There'll be no more sorrow. The Bible says that God will wipe away the tears, because I know, you know, if we got there and we knew that so-and-so that we loved and cared about didn't make it, that would bring sorrow to an otherwise joyful occasion. And so somehow God wipes those tears away so that we don't have to suffer the sorrow. There will be no darkness there. There's light all day, and all there is day. No night, no darkness. That means for those who hate to have to go to sleep, you won't have to anymore. Those that like to go to sleep, I don't know, you'll have a tough time because you'll have to sleep during the daytime. But there's also going to be no hunger or thirst. Now, I don't know if a spirit needs to eat. I don't understand how that's going to work. There are many things about heaven that we do not understand how it's going to work. But we won't be hungry or thirsty. Never again. Ellen Bailey wrote the poem, Heaven or Hell. She said, Heaven has a place prepared for me and you. Hell is another place that has one prepared too. There is no place in between that we can go. It's either heaven above or hell down below. Heaven is a place with streets paved with gold. Hell is a fiery furnace with unquenchable coals. Heaven is found with forgiveness and prayer. Hell doesn't care. It takes you as you are. We are all destined for one place or the other. There is no place in between to run for cover. We must decide now where we intend to stay. We cannot be fence-sitters come judgment day. If you believe that heaven is a beautiful place, I used to sing a little song, Heaven is a beautiful place, filled with glory and grace. I want to see my Savior's face. Heaven is a beautiful place. If you believe it's a beautiful place, make sure in your life that you're headed there. You see, we get to determine our final destination. We get to decide by the lives we live here what will happen to us there and where we will go for all eternity. If you're not a Christian this morning, you need to become one so that you're going the right way, so that you can make it to heaven. If you are a Christian but you've fallen away or you haven't lived your life in such a way as to be able to make it to heaven, you may need to repent of that today before it's too late. If you have a need to respond to God's invitation, please do so as we stand and as we sing.